Church ought to be fun. That ought to be a fun place to be. Praise God. That's cool. That was good fun. Hey, I'm going to invite along Mike in a sec. He's going to come and share with you. I've known Mike for like 10 years. He's a real great man of God, and he loves the church, and he loves God, and he loves you lot. And it's such an honor to have Mike here. He's a genuine man of God, and he's raising his children up to know Christ, and he is boldly proclaiming church in his world and his sphere. And it's such an honor to have him in the church. Why don't you make Mike feel welcome as he comes along? Praise God.
Lord, I thank you so much for this church. I thank you for mums. I thank you for the opportunity that on this day we get to come together. Honor you and honor those that have cared for us all our lives. Amen. Alrighty. This sermon series on teens in church, speaking to parents. It was a lot of fun when Nathan was preparing his message for me, because he was sweating bullets, because we love you guys so much that it can be a hard, hard message. And he was having sleepless nights, and I was laughing at him. And then this week, when I was preparing it, three nights I was getting woken up, wrestle all through the week. The same thing happened to me. And that just sucks the fun out of everything. Right there. There was no longer funny. And the reason we were getting woken up is we love you guys so much that we... not just because of the world teachers like, don't cause offense. It's like, because we love you, we genuinely don't want to offend anyone. But the scripture is the scripture, and we were talking, and the truth is, if we don't share the scripture, then no one in the world's going to share scripture with the church. And so it's with that we've done it. And we've done it. But we're doing it to honor you guys, because we love you guys. And so if you got a Bible, can you turn to Proverbs 1? You've heard some of the scriptures this morning. It's a God thing. A lot of what's been shared already is straight from my message. So Proverbs 1, verses 8 to 9. And I did look up the virtuous woman in Proverbs as part of my research too, in Proverbs 31. But Proverbs 1, verses 8 to 9. And the focus here is that God has given a special teaching role to mothers when it comes to their children's faith. And in Proverbs 1, 8 and 9, it says, Listen, my son. To your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. They are a garland to grace your head and a chain to adorn your neck. And Proverbs 6, verses 20 to 21 is much like it. My son, keep your father's command, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. Bind them always on your heart and fasten them around your neck. And when you walk, they will guide you, and when you sleep, they will watch over you. And when you awake, they will speak to you. See, the scriptures there say, Father's command. We've got this innate authority God's given us to say, do this, stop that. But the teaching role, it's interesting, has been given to the mums. And so what the mums teach our teens and teach their children is critical, because that's what's getting wrapped on the hearts, and that's what's getting implanted in their minds and around their necks. That is the reminders. God has given that special teaching role to the mums. When it comes to their children's faith, the ability to teach the wisdom. Fathers, we command, but mums, they are the influencers. I mean, we fathers, we command. We influence too. Like, just this morning, actually, you wouldn't believe it, but we've come here at 8:15 for the worship team, and it was so great seeing the mums honoured that are serving on Mother's Day, and Beck was here, and because Samara's first week on the worship team, we're here at 8:15, and I walked in, and there was dead set, no one here to high five upon my entry. I was like, what was going on? No one to high five. And the chairs, could you imagine, they weren't in nice rows. Someone's got to set this up in the morning. But what we, I'll tell you what, I was angry. I am angry. I was like, angry, angry. It reminds me of your mum, Nathan. I was angry. And I was angry. She's not here. Oh, go to town. Not only was there no one to high five, but then there was no seats already set up for us. So I commanded, seeing there was an obvious need to help, I commanded my children to have an indoor game of soccer. And so we're using the chair stacks around here, and Xander and Luca and Bree, they're in on it and they're having a great time playing 2-on-2 with Hunter as well. But Beck was having none of it, you know. Beck was having none of it. So from over there, she, in a whirlwind, charges launches from about here, does a slide tackle, takes out the ball and Xander and the bar in one fell swoop, which would have been a red card on any pitch, in the world. And so that was the end of fun. But I commanded the children. We're playing soccer. It was even great because later on, about 10-2, the kids are kicking a soccer ball with Nath. I said, see, soccer's all right. It was so good. I was loving it. See, didn't play soccer. I commanded it. And the funny thing is, like, as Xander was getting stretchered out slowly by the other children to have the outdoor game of soccer that Beck ordered, she just leaned over and whispered in his ear the scripture. Do not forsake your mother's teaching. I thought that was a really nice touch, Beck. Really nice touch. Now, does Beck know that I'm sharing this with you all? No. So can we just keep it to ourselves? Please? Don't share it. I'm trying to have a nice Mother's Day. All right. Yeah. So now you'll be surprised when my kids at home, if they want, we've got a basic rule. If you want a yes, you come to Dad. If you want to stay alive, you go to Mum. Because Mum's got wisdom. Dad commands a yes. I command the blessing. But Mum commands life. Here we go. Dad, can we go play soccer on the road? Yes, you can. Dad, can I sell a kidney to get the new Xbox game? Yes, you can, but keep one spare. Dad, they hurt me. Don't get even, son. Do it when they go to sleep. They will not see it coming. It's fantastic. That's what I mean. Yes from Dad, stay alive from Mum. And my kids have picked this up over the years. As Christians, the words we speak as fathers and mothers, it cuts both ways. We can have horrifically negative. So, you know, the Bible says that the tongue carries with it life and death. And so the words we speak over our children, the words that we allow others to speak over our children, are really critical. And so just as we could speak death, we're going to choose to speak life. As we can speak, you know, worldly materialism, we could also speak what the Bible teaches. And when we speak what the Bible teaches, it's written by God for us for the best in mind. Even if we don't understand it sometimes, even if it sounds hard and tough, the reason is because God loves us and wants the absolute best for us. And they're the words that we want teenagers binding on their hearts and wearing as garlands of grace around their necks and imprinted on their minds. See, mums, what I want you guys teaching is say, you know, what I want to teach my kids and what we do, unless my kids are ill, I'll mention a bit later. But Luke, I think it's chapter 4, verse 16, yeah. The Bible says Jesus went to church every weekend, every Sabbath, which is Saturday back in them days. We just invented Sunday church. But the Sabbath is a Saturday. And he went to church every Saturday, as was his custom. And a custom is a traditional ways of behaving. He never didn't go to church. And so these are the words that we want to be imparting onto our children's hearts. Jesus greatly values church and fellowship. And I want my kids, when I tell my children, why do we go to church? Jesus went to church. You see, you get very little arguments. I was like, well, you can disagree with Jesus if you want. That's cool. But the reason is Jesus went to church. It was really important. The fellowship with others and the encouraging of the body of Christ is really important to Christ. He didn't necessarily need it. He's coming to be a blessing to others. We don't need it. We're coming to be a blessing to others. If you can change your children's hearts from an absorption, a materialism, I'm coming to be served. No. It's just like we always hear. Service to a soldier is like church to a Christian. See, we come to be a blessing. We come for others. We don't come for our own. Rightio. So Charles Spurgeon, he seems to be famous, and everyone has heard of him. So let me give you a bit of an understanding. I like ripping on incredible men of God. Let no Christian parents fall into the delusion. I love that it's like, I'm not saying this. He said that. Let no Christian parents fall into the delusion that Sunday school is intended to ease them out of personal duties. The first and most natural condition of things is for Christian parents to train up their own children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Getting our teens, like what Spurgeon's saying is, just getting your teens to church, that's not even like the end. That's like barely the start. Not only do we want to do that, but we also want to be imparting the wisdom of the Bible and godliness and the Christian living into our teens' lives. So, because you can't hand that off. See, God's made me the dad of my family, and he hasn't made other people the dad of my family, so I can't just pass that off. I've got to step up. Dad's got to step up. That's one thing dads we get. We get the whole responsibility thing. We're not very good with it sometimes, but we get the general concept that someone should be sensible and take some hard decisions. If you go to 1 Corinthians 12, verses 12 to 26. Oh, look, it's in the app. That's lovely. Anyone else? Just wave your phone at me. It is. There we go. That's good. Sorry, that was our intermission. That's brilliant. 1 Corinthians 12, verses 12 to 26. And it talks about, and why are we talking about teens in church? Is we're talking about it because of the scripture. Because God talks about teens in church, and Jesus implores teens being in church. And the truth is that at least some, and it's rumored by most theologians, probably about half of all of Jesus' disciples were teenagers. See, the benchmark that we set for teens and what we expect of them is so unbelievably low. The irony was hilarious last week when it was like, could you anyone possibly picture Aiden going to Friday night youth, not going to Sunday church at all, and him just cracking eggs on his face? Like, it's ridiculous. Jesus had teenage disciples, and he trusted them so much that he allowed himself to die and said, the Holy Spirit will come, and it's going to be better for you, teenager, than I'm not here, because you're going to get the Holy Spirit and you're going to lead the whole thing. You're going to lead, teenager. You're not going to crack eggs on your head. It's mind-boggling. Right, so 1 Corinthians 12, verses 12 to 26. Unity on diversity in the body. Just as the body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we are all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body, whether Jew or Gentile, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Now, if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed all the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. So not by mistake. We don't have little children acting like little children on Sunday by mistake. We don't have teens acting like teens on Sunday services by mistake. We don't have 20s, young adults, 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s acting like they do by mistake. It's intention. God created the diversity, man, woman, old, young, and everything in between, on purpose. We all have a purpose and a role. At H2O, every demographic of the congregation is valued. Women and men, mums and dads, wives and husbands, the kids, the teens, the 20s, the 30s, the 40s, the 50s, the 60s. Do we have any 80s in here? All right, just slowly age. We'll get there, guys. Just, it's creeping up on some of you. All righty. H2O needs all of these parts, men and women, the separate giftings and the dynamics they can bring to a congregation. There are many parts that make the whole. And all people are different. And we're all unique. Just like we don't really want me being responsible at home for very much, because that's Beck's job. I'm there for the lighthearted gags. I'm there to liven it up. Make it tolerable. All righty. Verse 21, the Bible says, the eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. Have you noticed that we don't have a weekly church service just for men? Have you ever noticed that? That's funny, isn't it? We don't. I wonder why that is. Have you noticed that we don't have a weekly church service for women? We're not running one. Or for 70s. Or for 80s. Evidently, we don't have any 80s. But do we have any 70s? Ooh. Oh, hey, winning. You are very wise. God bless you. But have you noticed we haven't run a dedicated service for you yet? No, it's not. Yeah, it's not because they're experienced in wisdom and years. So have you ever noticed that we're not running a church service for you, dedicated? Now, we could put that in a suggestion box and it will end up going to Nath. No. But you understand, would it be nuts if we ran a service just for you or your demographic? And it would. And it's the 70s. We don't run one for the 60s, the 50s, the 40s, the 30s, or even the 20s. We don't run one for the youth or the children either, because the church is a body of Christ where all members are valued and we're all together and we need each other. There is not a dispensable part of the body. We can't, well, maybe that little thing that apparently was like the grass thing. What was that we keep ripping out of our body? Appendix, yeah. See, sometimes that blows up and that's not good. So we could probably do away with that. Now, I don't know what church demographic that is, but evidently most of the churches assume it's teenagers because they're on Friday night. Teenagers might be the appendix. I could be wrong. I could be wrong on this. I don't know. So, maybe they're appendixes. And teens tend to blow up on stuff. You seen them on social media? I think we might have hit something. Maybe I'm wrong and everyone else is right. Maybe me and the old Bible got a bit mistaken here. Alrighty-ho. But the eye cannot say to the hand. The church cannot say to teens. Right, Sunday. We don't like the type of teen age demographic that you bring, your joy, your vibrancy, your truth speaking. Oh, man. I'll tell you what, if you want a fun job, go and work in a high school and just watch the truth bombs fly around. It is great. There's zero filter. I love it because I've got zero filter and I try and my best. I bite my finger. That's what I do. It's my way of not speaking and not getting in trouble. And I'm laughing on the inside, but then I try and be an adult. I'm perfect. Because I haven't matured past 15 years of age, I fit right in and it's fantastic. You want to laugh, be a high school teacher. You know, when we were running, that was like the main battle. When we were running youth ministry, it was, why don't we run the Friday night youth? And the reason was, we're just not separating children from the body of Christ. And the power was, what we saw over time, is when we had about 45 youth, I think one of the funnest things that we used to do to start, it was like a long, many, many, many years ago. And so what we wanted to do, change HO culture to have teens serving in every ministry that we could. And we called it Youth Service Days. And it was the best. Yeah, because we'd spring it on all the red leaders, if you're a red leader or goal leader, we would spring it on you. And we'd dump 45 teens around the church and that'd be serving in your areas and everyone would be flipping out. And I'd get all the complaints and I'd laugh. But after about three of them, teens were now on rosters and they were serving, they had purpose, they had meaning, and we didn't say to the hand, you're not wanted. Off you go to another night, you're not wanted, because they were wanted and they were the backbone of the church. And it's so beautiful. And even we were having parents serving with their teens on pack up and set up ministry, little armies, the Beathams, massive, like the God Squad, they were tank as. And it was great. I loved it. Like Anthony and R2-K2. And they do that still. They set up the chairs. And it's fantastic. And they're still doing that. And it's just a beautiful culture. Just like in the Bible times where children would follow the dad or women, the girls would follow their mum. And they would just work alongside in ministry and do what their parents did. And it's a beautiful thing. And that's all we want to see. The reason we have teens in church is to rub shoulders with experienced men and women of God, because it's a great thing, and that's what I want for my kids, and that's why I encourage them to serve, is I want them around godly men and women who will speak wisdom into their lives as they're just doing menial tasks. You know, one thing that we always speak to leaders is, you know, we ask the question, what's your ministry about? What's the lights ministry about? And when inevitably someone new to the lights ministry, they'll say, it's about lights. And it's like, it's not about lights. It's about people. Your ministry is about people. It involves lights, but we could smash up every single light in this place and we don't care if you're discipling teens, if you're discipling children, because the ministries are always about children. They're never about the thing that it is. Do you get that? And so when you've got youth serving on Sundays in all the different areas, whatever they're doing, it's not about the area. It's about the person, the teen, and growing them up in a godly way. And I was talking to a Christian captain, of a Christian person who's a captain, last week. And I asked him, where are you going to church at the moment? And they said, I'm singing in a Friday night band, but I don't go to church anymore. And it's just like, oh, man, I understand what's going on. There's this great transitional gap. Like when we were running youth, we understood if you could get one teenager out of every 10 from Friday night to lob up on a Sunday, you're almost a miracle worker. The trail rate, if you know about marketing, the trail rate's something much closer to 1 in 20 teens that lob up on a Friday actually are a part of a body of Christ. And so, you know, if a captain of a Christian school is not going to church at all, you really got to start to think, man, what are we doing? What are we doing here? When the Bible says we can't say to the hand, teens, you're a bit quirky or you're a bit broody for me or you like your phone too much or you wear a hat inside, we might not allow you to accept Christ that Sunday. That's craziness. What we might do is we might separate you, put you on the Friday, and get you out of our hair because we want to sing psalms and we don't want to include you. But you'll notice our church includes teens with the music and the vibe. And it's all intentional. It's not by accident. I'll keep going because I'm going to run out of time here. 22 minutes in. I was talking. That's why we include the kids in our church. We don't separate. I'll go to the next verse on 22. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. You know, youth that really bought into that serving culture, what we did was we were going to honor them. We greatly honored them, actually. We would, when they're on rosters and they had to be serving about once a week or once every 2 weeks, and we had this big army of them, and then they would take them out to like the least safe places we could possibly think of. So that Big Buzz Fun Park, I remember getting the youth up the top, and these go-karts, they had death traps. I kid you not. Oh, man. And so he's flying down the hill, and the brake cable snaps. He's got no brakes. And there's a massive hill of this thing. It's insane. He hits the tire wall at the bottom. Tires fly in the air everywhere into water slides, hitting people on the way down the water slides. There was no seatbelt or anything, so his chest was a seatbelt on the steering wheel. And praise God, God was there. Because in spite of me, he was uninjured. And I had a funny story to share with you today. Praise God. And it was just, isn't it amazing how God works like that? It's just God. It's great. But I have seen youth bars. I've seen them when they come, and the whole concept of teens serving in a church service is foreign to them, and so they'll shut it off as soon as possible, and find other higher callings and higher purposes, or just reduce it, and it's catastrophic. And I see in droves teens leaving. I'm just get you to picture this. Everyone has a favorite band, Christian or not. Can you just quick picture this in your mind? Who is your favorite band, secular or non-secular? If you go and watch them today, would that be unreal? Your favorite band in the world. For me, I would love to see like U2 or Dropkick Murphys or Guns N' Roses or someone like that. And I've got to see them today, that'd be unbelievable. What if you went and watched them next week and then the Sunday after? And for 52 weeks this year, you went and watched your favorite band. And then you did the same next week, but you weren't participating, you were watching. Eventually, the greatest music concert that you can picture in your mind gets very flat, doesn't it? And it gets boring. And people were wondering, where are the youth going? It's like, well, then they're watching now. They're not serving. And it's like, I want to serve. Otherwise, it makes no sense me coming to church. I want my kids to serve. Otherwise, it makes no sense. Church doesn't make sense. It's not to be watched. There's no part of our body. Well, now maybe the appendix. But there's no part of our body that's just there for show, just to watch. It's to do, except for the appendix. So that there could be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. When we lose 80s, like we are mourning now, there's no one with 80s in this room. We're mourning. But when we lose a demographic, no one's rejoicing. We're missing the richness of the body of Christ. We want all demographics serving and being a blessing. There's a this guy with 25 minutes is probably up. I'll wrap it up. Can I get the musos to try and lighten the highly offensive sermon of telling mums what to do? So I've got so many crazy stories from youth. Youth love church. They generally love it. If you don't believe it, you're wrong, because they love it. I remember having teens where they had the father had an affair on the mother, and the dad shot through. And the kids were like going through a really depressive state and really unwell. And they were coming to church and they loved church. We shared the Bible with them. And it was always, we put that first, and we shared the Bible with them. And the mum threatened the kids, if you misbehave at home or you misbehave at school, we're going to ban you from coming to church. I'll just let that sink in for a second. If you misbehave, I will ban you from coming to church. I'm going to ban you from the presence of God. And it wasn't an empty threat. The kids were banned from coming to church. As a youth leader, you are trying your best to support the parents and trying, because we love the kids. And they were banned from coming to church. And then they stopped coming to church now. And now the life is going in a bit of a disarray. And I'm not surprised. And it breaks our hearts. But there's not anything you can do, because God has made one dad of the family and one mum of the family. And while we support, that's why on Mother's Day, we implore mums and dads. It's like, you guys are it. You are the first line of defense, the best line of defense, and the last line of defense. You and the Bible is it. Encourage your children to follow the Bible and the teachings of the Bible. You know what? You know what I'm not sorry for? I'm not sorry that for almost every year, my children have begged that they get to play AFL on Sunday mornings. I'm not sorry that I've said no to them every single year, and will forevermore say no to them to playing sport on Sunday mornings instead of coming to church. I'm not sorry for that. I'm never going to be sorry for that, because something's even more important than AFL on Sunday mornings, and that is serving in the body of Christ and worshipping God. Yeah, I'm not sorry that I insist my children come to me with me to church on each Sunday unless they are very ill. I'm not sorry that I let my children serve in church. And I'm not sorry when I ignore my in-laws that tell me, like, your children should be doing this or that. Last time I looked, I'm the dad, and I'm not sorry that I'm going to ignore you. I'm not sorry. That's it. All right, man, rally around me. I'm not sorry that when our house was robbed, my children started praying for the robber, saying, God, look after the robber, and they probably needed our possessions more than we did. I'm not sorry for that, and the world can be damned. I'm not sorry that when my teenager wants a job, that I'm ruling out Sunday mornings as a possibility. I'm not apologizing. You know, what's more important than a job is coming to church and praising God. So, job doesn't like that? I don't care. No job. Matthew 6:24. Why do I take these stances? It's just Michael's words of wisdom. As we know, I'm not necessarily that wise. Matthew 6:24 says, no one can serve two masters. You'll either hate one and love the other. You will be devoted to one or the other. You cannot serve both God and money. I'm not sorry. And mums and dads, you're not sorry. And nor should you be sorry. Because you're the mum, you're the dad of your children. And the world can be damned if it tries to tell you how to be a mum and how to be a dad. The Bible is clear, and we're just going to support you in that. I'm not sorry, and we don't need to be sorry. I'm wrapping up now. Proverbs 6:20-21, it says, my son, keep your father's command And do not forsake your mother's teaching. Bind them always on your hearts. Fasten them around your neck. When you walk, they will guide you. And when you sleep, they will watch over you. And when you awake, they will speak to you. Lord, I thank you for... why don't you guys stand on your feet as I pray for you. I thank you for every adult in this room. I thank you for every mother in this room. I thank you for every father in this room. God, you have given us an unbelievably challenging role over children. It is so difficult sometimes. And we're sinners, and I'm a sinner, and we fall short. God, I thank you for your word as a compass that points us in which way to go and how to do it. I thank you so much that you would share it with us. God, I pray that you give us courage and strength to do what needs to be done, even when it's uncomfortable, even when it looks like we're wrong, but we know that the word is right. And I thank you so much for that courage. And I want to give you thanks and praise for the special adults in this room right now. In Jesus' name, amen.